Praise the Lord. God is so gracious, isn't he? Now, we've been studying in Romans, and we are going to study some more in Romans. We're going to go back to that 8th chapter again, and we are going to finish up this 8th chapter. I know we studied part of it, but we're going to do this because this is what the Lord led me to do. We're going to begin with verse 28. Verse 28 of this chapter 8 is one of the most beautiful verses in the New Testament, and that is that all things work together for good. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? I know you can believe it because it's happened to me numerous times in my lifetime where it seemed like the things that were happening to me were hard to bear, very hard to bear. But yet God said, this is going to work for good. And that verse has stood with me in my whole life. And so we're going to ask the Lord to bless the word. Heavenly Father, I just come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I ask you to bless this word to us as we hear it today, study it, Father. Just be glorified, our dear Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That word, when it says all things work together for good, the word all things mean what, whatsoever. That's the first meaning of it. Whatsoever. It doesn't matter what it is. You go through trials in your life. You're going to have, there's going to be things that are going to upset you. There's going to be deaths. There's going to be all kinds of things. But all things, whatsoever and anything, it also means any. And it also means the whole. All manner of things, all manner of things. Can you believe this? All manner of trials that you have work together for your good and the good of other people. Once you begin to walk with God and yield to God, it's kind of getting rubbed off on people that you know. You start telling them about Jesus, how wonderful Jesus is, and if they would walk with God and yield to God, what that would mean. So all things, praise the Lord. And another meaning, it says, all the forms of declension. What is declension? Holding back, keeping things from going right. But praise the Lord that all things do work together for us when we turn it all over to the Lord. You can't make it by just saying, I'm going to try my best to overcome this thing. It will not be overcome that way. It is not overcome by anything that the power of God can do. The power of God. That's how dependent we are, like little children. We are dependent upon the Lord to help us. Glory to God. God causes everything that comes into our life to work together for good. For them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. There are 100 Bible verses about all things working together for good. Did you know that? What are the all things? What are the all things? Look at the life we have and what we go through in life. So what does it mean when it says that all things, the all things? What power does that mean? There's a power that's going to work together for good to me, to you. Praise the Lord. It also has the meaning when it says all things, it means whosoever. And it also speaks of together. The things work together for good to them that love the Lord. All things work together for them that love the Lord. Praise the Lord. And notice again that those that are called according to his purpose. Now, the word called means invited, to be invited, to be appointed. Did God invite you? I remember when he invited me. I've told you that before. I was 6 years old. I was at the back of the building. My daddy was preaching on the mark of the beast. If you know that, that's a scary thing. And so I went immediately down on my knees and asked Jesus to save me. And I was raised in a family where they read the Bible every day. My mother read us Bible stories and everything. But I was just too young to really realize how I needed to be saved. But it's precious to know what God does and how he deals with us. Praise the Lord. What are the all things? It's the power of God. It's whatsoever. Whatsoever, it means anything that is there, all of it is going to work for our good. Even the loss of your husband or your wife will work together for good. That's what the Bible says. You lose a child, you have to accept it. And you say, God, I'm going on. I'm going to yield on. And God is so marvelous. He just helps us. Everything, all together, work together. Hallelujah. According to his purpose. He has a purpose in everything. Oh, how wonderful that is. Glory to God. So, down in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Whom he did foreknow. Do you realize that God knew who you were even before you were saved? Even before you were born, he knew when you were born that you were going to be a child of his, because he saw way down in the future, and he saw that person is going to become a child of God. It's so precious. Don't discredit God. He knows everything. And he knows it all from end to beginning, the beginning to the end, I sort of said. Praise the Lord. God does all of that. He has his purpose, his divine purpose and will that he works. Glory to God. Oh, how I praise him for that. He has foreknowledge. He knows what's before because he is God. He is prepared. He knows who will be saved. He knows who will not be saved. Romans 11:2 says, God hath not cast away his people whom he foreknew. God knows who we are. He's going to know that we are his child, and he knows it before the foundation of the world. The scripture says he knows who's going to be a believer, and he is for us. He is our heavenly Father. He is taking care of us constantly, leading our life, directing us. And it was all based upon the cross of Jesus Christ, that Christ would die for our sins and for all that we need done in our lives. Oh, thank God. You know, we're human. I hope everybody realizes you're human. Human beings, we want to walk with God, but sometimes the enemy will bring in something in our life that makes us just flabbergasted that something that happens in our life. But God has a reason that he allowed that, because he loves us. He has foreknown us. He's going to bring about his desire for us. Hallelujah. He is not going to cast away his people that he foreknew. That's what it says in Romans 11:2. So if you were taught that God would cast you away the least little thing you did, he's a loving, wonderful God. And he loves you. He loves you just as much as he loves anybody here in this building or anyone else in the whole world. Glory to God. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called. Boy, predestinate's a big word, isn't it? It just means this, to determine before, to determine beforehand. Okay, so how did we get in God's thoughts to be somebody for God, determined before even the world was made? Or before Jesus Christ came to die on the cross. How did that happen? It's because we worship God. God is a great God. He knows everything. He has everything in his plan. It's not anything that just happens so when at the last minute, oh, I see that person down there. Maybe that one should be saved. That is not the way it works. God knows every person that's going to be saved. And he gives us the word of God so that we can hear that word of God and come to know Jesus as our Lord. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says there in verse, I believe it starts with verse 3, it says, blessed, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. It's just what I told you. It was according to the word of God that Jesus and God our Father had this plan before we were ever born, before we were ever existed. He had us as one that would believe clear back there before the foundation of the world. Now, verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, we've had the word justification before, but notice that the Lord called us. He called us. Praise the Lord. He called them. The word means these persons. He called these persons. And calling speaks of, if I call somebody, I'm either talking on the phone or I'm calling them down the street or whatever, it means that I'm actually speaking my voice to them. And that's what God the Father did to us. He spoke his voice, and he brought us to the point where we wanted Jesus. And in his sight, this was all his mind and his will from before the foundation of the world, we just read. So he called them, these persons. He was speaking to them whom he called. And whoever he called was justified. Do you know what justified means? We say this a lot. This is the meaning of the word justified. It means to render innocent, to set free, to make that person righteous before him. It's not that you're a real good person that Jesus accepts you as salvation. That's not what it's about. It is to render, because we believe, because we accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, he rendered us innocent from sin. He set us free. He made us righteous. And he calls us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We have the righteousness of God in Christ. Praise the Lord. All of us have an old nature. And it may be times that you get angry. But God wants us to realize that we have been justified. He has born us again. We have a new life of Christ within us. And we are rendered innocent and free and righteous. So our part is to let that new life of Christ that's in us govern us, direct us, show us what the right thing is to do, and walk that way. Do exactly what God says. That's what he desires of us. And it isn't self-effort. You know, no matter how long we have been saved or how long we've walked with God, we all could make mistakes. We all could say something we really shouldn't and all this stuff. But when we realize that it's up to the Lord God to change us and work in our lives, our main concern then is to cry out to him and say, Father, change me. Help me to be a godly person. Help me to love Jesus more than I love anything in the whole world. It's a beautiful thing to change your attitude toward the Lord, because he loves us so much. He'll just bless us, you know. He's just so good. Glory to God. So he called us, these persons. He speaks to them. Hallelujah. Do you ever hear the call of God? Times when you're really in difficult times, when one of your loved ones has passed away, or a child that you cherished, like I had when my little baby was born, my third child, and then he died before he was 11 months old. And just to see him just decrease all of those months, he had muscular dystrophy, And it just, he just went from this big, robust child that was born, you know, weighed 9 pounds and 7 ounces. And then he just gradually, he grew longer this way, but skinny. And, wow, it was a difficult trial. But God had the reasons. He had reasons. He worked a lot of good things and trust in God. Even in my little daughter, Annette, 3 years old, she loved that little child so much. And she was so sweet with him. And we talked about this recently, and she said, "Mama, it hurt me so bad for little Timmy to die." Well, it hurt all of us, didn't it? But it was for our good that God did that. I'm thankful to the Lord that he brought me through that, because I have a lot of compassion for people that suffer like that. It just was so hard. But God is so good. Oh, hallelujah. When it says that he justified, does that mean he looks down and he says, "Okay, you're doing all right. I justify you"? That's not what it means at all. To be justified, it was God's part. When we receive Christ, he renders us innocent and free and righteous. Can you believe this that I'm telling you? In God's sight, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he says, "This is a person that is innocent and is free and is righteous." He's not talking about you as a person, really. He's talking about that you have Christ in here. Christ has come into your life, and you are free. You are set free from sin. You're set free from all those things that have hindered you. You are a child of God. Well, how much greater could that be? Oh, hallelujah. So in that verse 30, it says, "Whom he called, them who are also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." You mean I'm already glorified? When we say that a person is going to be glorified, we're usually thinking about when they leave this world, they go to heaven, and God glorifies them. He puts them in this glorious state that they're a new body, and they're, you know, God's child, and it's so wonderful. And so if the wording there, the word glorified in the Greek, is it to render or esteem glorious. Okay, so when we're born again, God is looking down at us and he says, "This person is rendered glorious." That doesn't mean we are sinless or whatever. It also, it's when he looks, there's a little thing, I have to say this again. You've heard me say it. When he looks at us, he sees not what we used to be, but he sees Jesus. That's a little song. And that's so precious to think about. He doesn't look at the faults that we've had behind and say, "Whoa, you know, there's a bad one." He loves us so much that when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, he just takes and keeps us going on. He just keeps us going on until we will leave this life. Praise the Lord. So, hallelujah. Okay, going on to verse 31. "What shall we then say to these things?" What do you got to say? I'm saying a lot today, but I want to tell you, I am so blessed by knowing what God does for us. What a treat, what a blessing that he would take us and make us his own children. We are the children of the living God, the scripture says. "What shall we then say to these things?" And what is the answer for Apostle Paul? "If God be for us, who can be against us?" You probably have all gone through trials and jobs and all kinds of things. I have. People that said bad things, people that wanted to put me out because of some silly things that they didn't like. But the Lord's mercy and his grace helped me to be an overcomer about it and not blame. And that's what takes place in our life. There's lots and lots of trials, lots of things that happen. We don't like them. We don't want that. But we have to learn that God is for us anyway. He is for us. Don't be discouraged of something that happens. you know, the next trial you might have might be even greater than what you think you've got now, really and truly. So you need to just take things that come and ask him to help you, and he will. He will help you. Who can be against us? The devil can't really do anything unless God would allow it. And so he constantly, God is constantly with us. He is for us. Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He didn't spare his own son. He loved us so much. John 3:16, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, praise the Lord that God would do that. He delivered him up. That means he surrendered him to go through the cross. God did that because he loved the human race and he wanted them to be his children. Shall he not with him, with the Lord Jesus Christ, freely give us all things? Isn't that what God is going to do? The Amplified Version says, he who did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? All of the blessings that you receive are coming from God. When you're a child of God, he's so faithful. He works in all kinds of things to bring about good things for us because he loves us. Verse 33, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely, freely, hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 34, who will bring any charge against God's elect? Who are God's elect? That literally means the chosen ones. You are some of the chosen ones. Every person here that I know knows Jesus. We are the chosen ones. God has chosen us to be his children. Oh, how wonderful that is. Oh, glory to God. God's elect, the chosen ones. How blessed are you? How blessed are you? Do you feel like you're not blessed enough? Glory to God. God loves you. It is God that justifieth. Justifieth. That means he renders us just and innocent. How many of you can remember that? Now, I've probably repeated that two or three times. He means business. When he accepts us as his child, he renders us as innocent and free. And we are righteous. We are holy before God. Hallelujah. What a blessing. What a glorious, wonderful blessing. Praise the Lord. Verse 34 says, who is he that condemneth? Who is it usually that condemns us? The old devil. He's always whisper something in our ear. Well, what a liar. What a deceitful person. But who is he that condemneth us? It is Christ that died for us. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So what did he do? He died for us. He gave his life. He rose for us. And now he sits at the right hand of God, and he constantly is praying for us to his Father. Help so-and-so, they're going through a trial. Help them. It says in another place, he intercedes for us. He intercedes for us at the right hand of God. What a blessing. What a wonderful thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 36, and as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. This is a trial, and we know that Apostle Paul went through that so greatly because he was thrown into prison for years and all the things that he went through. And then they take him out of Rome there, and they behead him. It was a hard trial. He wanted to be out evangelizing and telling people about Jesus, and they capture him and put him first in Israel there, and then they haul him over to Rome and put him in there. But praise the Lord, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. That's in Psalm 44:22. And so we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And if you think about Paul, you realize he was a martyr. And over the century of years, there have been so many martyrs for Christ. Right now, in China, they are collecting the believers and putting them into great big camps where they have to do all kinds of heavy work and stuff. They are persecuting the Christians in other countries so strongly. The Lord's people, the sheep, they're brought to the slaughter. But notice what verse 37 says. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It isn't up to you and I to be a strong person. It isn't. It's for us to fall on the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I don't think I can take this. I really have got to have help from you. And he does. He strengthens us. He enables us to do things and keep on going by his power. It is such a wonderful thing. Glory to God. We may be as one of those as Paul was, as a persecuted Christian, as there are in other countries. But praise the Lord, nay, in all of these things, everything that God allows, we are more than conquerors. Oh, praise the Lord. That word more also means overbound. We have a greater ability to be a conqueror because we love Jesus than we did before we knew him. And verse 38, for I am persuaded. Now, this is a very important part. I am persuaded. I hope that you all are persuaded today that these verses of scriptures are so beautiful and so wonderful. Hallelujah. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, those principalities can be demonic, nor powers, nor angels, nor principalities, for powers, nor things, pardon me, I'm reading that again, nor things to come. You know, a lot of times we don't understand exactly, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and it kind of, we get on that, we kind of begin to doubt and say, well, I don't know for sure, if I'm even going to be around. My life may be taken by then, and we start reasoning, and that's not what God wants. He wants us to depend on him. Notice in verse 39, nor height, nothing that is up there so high that we think we cannot even gain that. It's, like going to heaven or something like that. Nor depth, nor any other creature. Praise the Lord. You know who we are? We're creatures. And sometimes because we're creatures, we forget about God and his power. Because he loves us. We are his creatures. The word creature means that the Creator created us. And he loves us. Shall be able, notice that, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This salvation is because Jesus Christ died for us. And it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. But praise the Lord, it is so real, isn't it? We shall not be able to separate, nothing shall be able to separate us from this beautiful love of God. Hallelujah.